You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
It's a dripping tap. Slow drops of surprising information about Thomas Mulcair, generally seen as the leading candidate to replace Jack Layton as head of the NDP. The first drip drip was news of financial donations to Mulcair's campaign from some corporate elite figures in Canada. And then a second drip drip was a website called Know Mulcair, K-N-O-W, a double entendre by people claiming to be active and longtime members of the NDP. And the latest drip drip is a story in the Toronto Star claiming Mulcair discussed taking a high-profile job with the Conservative Party before joining the NDP. To discuss the dripping tap, I'm joined by Derek O'Keefe. He wrote the initial article published on Rabble about surprising financial donors to Mulcair's campaign for the NDP leadership. And in addition to his journalism, Derek is a longtime and prominent activist in the Canada-wide anti-war movement. Good morning, Derek, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Good morning, Mordecai. Always good to be here.
Let's start with the financial donors to Mulcair's campaign. Where did you find that information?
Well, it's publicly available through the Elections Canada website. There's a few steps to proceed to, but this is under the elections finance reform that came in under the Chrétien government. The individual donors to political parties, that information is publicly available, and it also applies to the NDP leadership race, which allows us to, see who's financially backing the different candidates. And the information that I found about Thomas Mulcair wasn't the product of a leak or any skullduggery. It was my own curiosity, having had a chance to speak to the man himself. He was at a town hall in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, and it's not actually a secret his sort of past history in being very very one-sided and a very strong supporter of Israel in disputes in the Middle East. In his own words, he's an ardent supporter of Israel in all circumstances. And he's, it's well known in Montreal where his sympathies lie. But I wanted to press him on this issue because, it's my contention that him being the leader of the party would mark a significant break to taking in sort of even more or much more overtly pro-Israel position. So I asked him about some specifics, such as the Gaza campaign, Operation Cast Lead, where Israel bombarded for a number of weeks and killed over 1,400 Palestinians. He had no comment on that. He wouldn't comment on that specifics. He had no comment on the ongoing blockade of Gaza, which the NDP has criticized. So I thought, let's take a look at some of the names that are supporting him. And I didn't expect to find some of the really big names on there. So I was, the one that jumps off the page was Gerald W. Schwartz, better known as Jerry Schwartz, who's a longtime power player in on Bay Street in the capitalist establishment of Canada. And traditionally, Schwartz had been aligned with the Liberal Party, but he, along with his wife, Heather Reisman, the chapter's Indigo CEO, broke quite publicly and criticized the Liberals in 2006 when the new Harper government supported Israel's operation and bombing in Lebanon. So Schwartz and his wife Reisman and some other very key Liberal backers of Israel criticized their own party for being too soft and, lauded Harper, and some of them joined the Conservative Party. So, I can go through a few other names. One other one that jumped out, again, is Anthony Monk, who is a executive at Barrick Gold Corporation, and he's also the son of the founder, Peter Monk, a very renowned name in Canadian business. And Barrick Gold is quite a infamous mining company for some of its operations throughout the Third World, its human rights record and its record on the environment and labor rights. So Anthony Monk was interesting because Elections Canada allows you to cross-check if the individual donors gave to different parties. And a couple of weeks after Anthony Monk donated to Thomas Mulcair, he also made a donation to Stephen Harper's Conservative Party of Canada. And I guess just the final thing to flag on this, there were at least a dozen Bay Street executives who donated in or around the same date in mid-December. A number of them donated on December 14th and others in the following 2 weeks, including four out of eight, half of the managing directors of Jerry Schwartz's is Bay Street Corporation Onyx, which is probably the most influential Bay Street investment firm, and has its hand in all sorts of different companies, everything from the private Medicare, private medicine in the United States to the military-industrial complex through Raytheon and other subsidiaries. So this is a big deal, Onyx Corporation. And in fact, Stephen Harper's current chief of staff, Nigel Wright, is on a two-year loan from Onyx Corporation. He's also a managing director there. So that's a lot of names to throw out there, but some of the biggest players on Bay Street and also some of the biggest and most uncritical supporters of Israel in Canada.
So it sounds like there must have been an agenda item that discussed where a little bit of money should go.
Yeah, it's certainly that, you know, there's nothing conspiratorial to suggest that there was some coordination. You know, we can't speculate whether there was a meeting or an email or a memo, but obviously some people talk to each other. Another colleague of Jerry Schwartz in the pro-Israel lobby is Joel Reitman, who was the co-founder of the campaign started a few years ago to rebrand Israel, which used Toronto and the Toronto Film Festival as a centerpiece. And Joel Reitman also contributed in and around those dates in December.
Now, I mentioned in my introduction that there's also a website called No Mulcair, no being spelled K-N-O-W, but it's a double entendre, obviously. And they deal with the question of his position on Israel, but there are other aspects of his political history that they also deal with. Could you give us an idea of what the critique there is?
Sure, and I guess I should say that in terms of a surprise, what has surprised me is that the well-known facts of Thomas Mulcair's political background weren't being discussed very much in the leadership race and in general during his years in the NDP. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that he has this this background. A lot of it wasn't secret. For me, the funders was interesting because it was being done openly. But what the people, whoever started the No Mulcair website, they detail some of his history with the Quebec Jean Charest government. And, you know, again, it's not a huge leap to think that he had some conversation with Harper's conservatives when he left the Quebec Liberals, because Charest's Liberal Party in Quebec is kind of like Gordon Campbell, Christy Clark's Liberal Party in B.C. It's really a very right-wing government. And Thomas Mulcair served in that government for just over 3 years. And during that time, you know, there was a massive student rebellion, really, against cuts to student financial aid, $100 million cuts there. There were attacks on the right to collective bargaining, actually the right to unionization by child care workers in Quebec. So a number of things happened in that right-wing Charest government, and Mulcair remained silent. So this website details some of that, and in the timing, at least with my article, and this website is entirely coincidental, and I think it's been potentially unfortunate, because we also have reports of conservatives leaking things like, you know, Mulcair is the one that they fear, and so forth. So there's speculation that the conservatives are behind this. We know all about the kind of operations they've waged on other political leaders in the past. So I worry that because of the anonymity of the No Mulcair website, there might not be much discussion of the substance of Thomas Mulcair's background. So all that to say, I mean, I'm making my critique of Thomas Mulcair as sort of a long-standing critic of his policies, and also someone who over the years has debated and written to, you know, Jack Layton's NDP and previous NDP politicians, you know, encouraging them to take stronger positions on peace and on the Middle East, and criticizing them when they haven't. So all that to say, I think if people want to go after Mulcair's record, it's probably more productive to do it openly. Now, you know, NDP insiders have their own reasons for leaking this stuff, obviously. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But for me, it would be better to see an open political discussion because, you know, there are differences politically within the NDP, and you know, there's a critique to be made of the NDP as a party altogether from the left, you know, as well as from the other side of the spectrum. But we don't get to hear that much in the mainstream discourse.
Well, he left the Charest government over ostensibly an environmental issue, but the Toronto Star article this week focused on a claim by conservatives, at least, and you're raising questions about the genuine character of that, Thomas Mulcair approached the Conservative Party after he left the Charest government, before he joined the NDP, and that he approached the Harper government on saying, I can improve your image as an environmental, you've got problems with being seen as environmentally destructive, I can improve your image if you hire me. Mulcair denies that he took the initiative, although it seems that both parties agree there was a discussion about this.
For sure, that's a good synopsis, and I guess I would argue to the 130,000 NDP members that will make the decision on the leadership, and there's a lot of discussion about these new revelations. I would rather see a focus on the record in governance and in politics openly that Mulcair has. You don't have to know that he had some discussions with the Harper government in 2007 to be wary of his record. You look at that Charest government in Quebec. You know, arguably as neoliberal or more in its agenda as the early Gordon Gamble government, with its attacks on the labor movement, the student movement. Yes, and Mulcair did break from that government over the, well, he wasn't reappointed to his cabinet position as Minister of Environment and Sustainable Development, and there was also, that was partly related to his refusal to support park privatization. So he argues that he left the Charest Liberals on a point of principle, but there was all these other very important points of principles involving public education, affordable, you know, accessible education, and basic labor rights. And this is very recent history, so it surprises me. And maybe it's just a sign of the times a little bit in the NDP that these things haven't been discussed more vigorously. And that in 2007, when he joined the party, he was immediately given a very high profile. You know, obviously, for the sensible reason that he was their first elected MP in Quebec in recent history. And but he was made the deputy leader, and there was really no scrutiny of his past politics. So all of that is playing out in this debate.
Well, thanks for taking time this morning, Derek. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, very good. And we'll see how this discussion unfolds. Thank you, Mordecai.
Certainly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with journalist and anti-war activist Derek O'Keefe. Sunday, March 11th, there's an NDP last leadership debate, and it's going to take place in Vancouver at the CBC building, 700 Hamilton Street. If you're interested, the event is open to the public and doors open at 11:15 a.m.